The nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos. Lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube right now. You can search and watch us live. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is also Nigeria Info 99.3. And you're most welcome to join us. The long-awaited presidential ministerial nominee screening commences today, and this list was made public, and everybody in Nigeria has been talking about this particular list. The list was presented to the Senate by President Tinubu's Chief of Staff, Femi Gbajabiamila. The names on the ministerial list include some former state governors. It also includes some technocrats, economists, finance experts, health experts, lawyers, serving personal assistants to the president. Among them were former governor of River State, yes, and Wike, ex-Ebonyi governor David Mayi was also there, and presidential spokesperson Dede Alake is among those that made the list. At least 11 states have no representation in the list of ministerial nominees sent to the Senate. The 11 states are Adamawa, Bayelsa, Gombe, Kano, Kebbi, Kogi, Lagos, Plateau, Osun, Yobe, and Zamfara. While 11 states have no representation for now, the trio of Bauchi, Cross River, and Katsina states have two nominees each on the list. The current list containing 28 nominees for cabinet positions shows there are 11 states without nominees, 7 female nominees, 6 former lawmakers, 4 former governors, 3 serving lawmakers, 3 presidential advisors, 3 states with 2 nominees, 1 head of federal agency. That's just a little of the breakdown we can bring to you because of time. And I have joining me for this conversation this morning Professor Abiodun Adeni, HOD, Department of Mass Communication, Bayes University, Abuja. Prof, good morning to you and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for bringing me on.
Prof, let's start with your assessment of the list overall. When you saw the list, what came to your mind?
Well, I just feel that at some point, there has to be a conclusion to decision-making process. And that was the point we got to. There's nobody. Imagine if you replace those 28 people with another set of 28, there will still be strengths and weaknesses. And replace it yet again with another set of 28, there will still be strengths and weaknesses. And that was what I think caused the delay in the release of the list in the first instance, because in a complex, multi-ethnic, plural society like us, interests will continue to conflict. And it's even worse in a democracy, you know, where you have in the political environment where we have a president that was helped into power by so many individuals, so many groups. The attempt to balance those interests can actually be very, very tricky. And we saw so much of it in the Buhari time, where it took him so long a time for him to decide. And the fact that a President Bola Tinubu couldn't decide until after 2 months, you know, even after he had the option or he had a chance of thinking through it 3 months before swearing in, was a testimony to the fact that it cannot always be easy. So at this point, there has to be conclusion. And of course, there was a conclusion. But in terms of the composition, I think it's a mixed bag of many things. And we just have to take it like that, hoping that they will understand the task ahead of them and be able to put in their best to assist the president, who is the chief visioner, the chief missioner, to assist him in realizing his aims and objectives as the case could be.
Prof, let's put this the back down and let's piece it apart one after the other. Let's start with economy. With the list, although we don't know who is in charge of what yet, and we don't have the full list yet, but what we have currently right now, and looking at the state of the country's economy, does this list inspire any confidence as to do we have hands, technocrats, politicians, think tanks that can jump right into their offices and work on reviving or revamping our economy back to where it should be. Anyone on this list that inspires that confidence in you, Prof?
Yeah, thank you. The economic sector is a very tricky sector. Tricky because it's often dependent on variables. And one of those variables is how well you're able to engender confidence, how well you're able to enhance believability in the processes and procedures you are going to initiate. In the Buhari regime, you know, we didn't see so much of this confidence. We saw so much of badgering down, so much of delays. And of course, when you are not making the right decision at the right time, you're likely to run into trouble. But in the Tinubu administration, for instance, we're seeing him making some bold decisions, even though we can criticize him for not making preparation before making those decisions. We can see him trying to liberalize the system, trying to trigger a real market economy, you know, where the naira is floated, where subsidy is removed, you know, and where he wants to allow the forces of demand and supply to determine the prices of goods and services. So we are seeing that being done. Yes, there are immediate pains, but in the longer run, we might see sustainability, we might see consistency, but that's left for time to determine. But in terms of personnel, whether they are available, you know, to manage the system, of course, he has quite a number of experts, no doubt. Wale Edu is famous for being an economic wizard, you know, having been a banker before. And of course, President Bola Tinubu said to us, I've also recommended him before now to be minister representing Lagos, or as the case could be, to President Buhari, although he didn't make it. But this is, he now has the time, you know, to make make his mark. You know, so other than that, they are also, even Tinubu himself is by all means an economist, an accountant, the business person, and somebody who was able to do some very good economic engineering in Lagos, and he succeeded at that. So if we have all those interests coming in, you know, coming together, taking decision on the states of the economy, how well, you know, to manage our declining resources, how well to expand our income base beyond oil, into agriculture, into solid minerals, into solid minerals and all of that sectors, tourism, etc. Yeah, we might be heading towards something good. Then what matters again is not how much we have, but how well we manage what we have. Over time, we have regretted the lack of transparency, the absence of accountability. We have seen systemic corruption faced with supposed lack of resources, you know. So these are contradictions that we think that can be resolved with the men that he has around for now.
Prof, I'm glad that you mentioned the contradictions, because that's exactly where I'm going next. Of course, we'll come to the issue of, you know, attaching portfolios to ministerial nominees and all of that in a moment. But let's talk about contradictions. You mentioned earlier about, you know, the political rigmarole that, you know, usually comes in when the president was about picking his team. That happened during Buhari's regime. It happened, obviously, with President Tinubu as well. And that led me to want to know exactly which of the economy do you... Because I'm particularly of the opinion that there are some sectors of the economy that we cannot allow politics to prevail when we're choosing who heads such sectors of the economy. Politicians may differ. Politicians may think that, look, politics is part of everything, whether the sector is important or one sector is more important than the other one, like they always say. And even ministers, personnel, nominees themselves fight for what they call, in quotes now, juicy sectors of the economy. Prof, please enlighten me. Any of these sectors that you feel the president cannot, must not play politics with, otherwise he may blame himself at the end of the day?
Yeah, I agree with you absolutely. There are sectors of government that government should definitely not toy with. They require expertise. They require high dose of technocracy. They require specialized management. And of course, in the past, we have had, you know, square peg in round hole. It is better this time if we have round hole in round pegs in round hole. And we want to think that Tinubu will not deviate from what is just conventional, you know, what is normal or what is rather reasonable. And of course, health come to mind. Professor Patty has been severally mentioned as somebody who is tipped to go to the health ministry. He's got our expertise, no doubt. Then, of course, justice ministry is also an area where you cannot toy with. Even constitutionally, you need an expert, you need a lawyer. And Latif Agbemi, an experienced, sound legal practitioner, is there on the list. We expect him to man that sector. Peradventure, another person is not nominated from the remaining. Another senior advocate or another senior lawyer is not nominated from the remainder, you know, of the nominees. You know, Latif Agbemi fits that bill. Then, of course, education, too. It's very critical. The last time it was a tragedy where we had somebody who himself said he knows nothing about education. And you are leaving him in the education ministry for 8 years. He said he just came in and started laughing and learning on the job. That was a disaster, considering the importance of education to the economy of any nation, you know, towards the development of human resources, you know, and towards the stabilization of the future of the country. But apart from the confidence, the self-improvement that it guarantees for the individual benefactor, beneficiary of educational process, you know. So all these things matter, education matters. Then, of course, even transportation to a very large extent shouldn't be politicized. You need somebody that understands the importance of transportation, how it has contributed, is a very critical aspect of infrastructural development of a nation. And, of course, how it has contributed to the evolution of systems and societies that we today do that are civilized or developed, you know. You need somebody that has that understanding and good management of resources as well, because of the huge funds that would normally go into the, that sector. What about housing? You know, that's a place where you need some level of expertise too, you know. Minister of Finance comes to mind as well. It's even much more critical, because you know, we just want to put somebody who is not an expert in that sector. Oil and gas comes to mind as well. You need an expert in those sectors. I remember even in the military dictatorship period of President Ibrahim Babangida, he never joked with expertise. You know, he was putting Rausbeck in round hole. If you remember, Jibril Aminu, professor of medicine, an expert educationist, was minister of education. Bab Fafua, you know, professor of education, you know, an expert, one of the best in this country, was Minister of Education. Ulikoyi Ransom Kuti, you know, an expert physician, but Minister of Health. You know, if a military regime could do all that, you know, why not a civilian regime? And even much more, why not a Bola Tinubu that is celebrated as a very good manager of human resources and an expert headhunter for that matter? So we shouldn't be making that mistake. We know that politics has to be played, because it was a politician in the first instance before he ascended the presidency of this country. And we cannot deny him the opportunity or the chance of playing politics. You know, but he should play it well, you know. And we are not saying that politicians are not experts. I know that Governor Nasiru Abubakar, for instance, is a first-class graduate of political survey. He can do well in the housing department. He can do well in FCDA. He can do well in power or some other sectors that are utility-driven as well. Even Governor Wike, a lawyer, yeah, but he's been a builder over the years. He can also do well in housing, and he works, as the case could be. You know, so all these things need to come into consideration. What about the engineer, Governor Umahi, who is reputed to have done very well in his state, you know, as governor for 8 years, you know? Yes, he's got some good hands around him, but the branding is not just to have those good hands. Those good hands shouldn't be an end in itself, but they should be a means to an end. And they can only be a means to an end if they are appropriately fixed into the right portfolio.
Right.
I think what we can do now is just to invest hope in him, trusting that he will make the right calls.
Talking about making the right calls, Prof, people would have expected, I know quite a number of people who had expected that he already had his team on the ground. However, politics would have interfered with his list, he wouldn't have been that much. So he knew beforehand who he was going to work with because of that reputation of being a master headhunter himself. And people were expecting that, look, anytime Bola Tinubu would put his list forward, it will be with portfolio. But alas, Prof, it's same old, same old. No portfolio. But were you surprised?
Well, you know, I think it's a bit, it's witnessing something slightly different now, you know, operating within a subnational, within a state, just one state in the midst of 36 or 37 states, if you include FCT. It's a different ballgame, you know. Lagos is a microcosm, but now he's dealing with a macrocosm. So the difference is clear. So what it means that if it took him a minute to deal with cases in Lagos, it would take him 36 more minutes for you to deal with cases in the center of Nigeria. So the complications are there. And of course, it's still one head. It's not that his head has multiplied 37 times. It's just still one head, you know, having to deal with the same issues that he dealt with in Lagos. So maybe we should cut him that slack. But we also can also look at it from another angle, because we know that, like you rightly said, he's got people that have worked with him over the years. We thought that he would have been thinking through this immediately after he was declared winner. He has had some troubles in the build-up to this inauguration abroad, and we're told that he was going to prepare, you know, going to reflect on it, on his appointees, you know. So we're a bit let down when, on assumption of office, we didn't hear some quick appointments like spokespersons. We had to wait for some time. Civil servants were doing the job. And these ones are just there. They're not as suave. They're not as creative as the politicians, with the greatest respect to them. Some of them, that is, not all, you know. And of course, we're waiting until there was a first set of advisors. They had a spokesperson in Dele Alake, and we started moving on, you know. We were afraid that it was probably getting overwhelmed because of the extent of a responsibility now before him, having to deal with the entire Nigerian state as against Lagos state. And I think that's where we are. We just, again, have to be hopeful, trying to assume that as the day go by, he will be learning quickly on the job. I'm trying to realize that he has the chessboard before him that is larger than the one he had before. But again, the prayer is that you should learn very fast, because so many things that have been done now should have been done 2 months ago.
Right.
So the measure of no time.
Right.
Suffering is increasing.
Right.
People need quicker results on account of the excruciating pain that they are going through. And the ball is simply back in his court. I want to be hopeful that it's not going to disappoint us.
Professor Abiodun Adeni, thank you so much for joining us on the Crossfire this morning. We really appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Professor Abiodun Adeni is the head of Department of Mass Communication, Bayes University, Abuja. He joined us live from Abuja this morning. Lagos, we're going to take a quick break, right? When we return from the break, Nelson Ekwujimi will be our next guest. Stay here, please.
This is Breaking News.
Nigeria Info, we've got a breaking news for you. Report reaching us says that President Bola Tinubu will be live 7 p.m. tonight for a nationwide broadcast. Again, President Tinubu will be speaking to the nation at 7 p.m. Tonight. Nigeria Info will be live with that broadcast, so please join us then. Again, we're hearing that President Tinubu will be live in a nationwide broadcast at 7 p.m. Later tonight. You need to join us for that one. Okay, all right. That's our breaking news this morning here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Let's head back to the Crossfire.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And of course, yes, we are expecting our second guest to join us on the show this morning, and he will be with us any moment now, and that is Ashley. He joins us via the telephone from Abuja this morning, and we continue with our conversation on the president's list.
Morning. My pleasure.
Just
jump right in very quickly.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you here. Ashley, I don't know if you've heard, but the president is addressing the nation at 7 p.m. Today. What do you suppose the president is maybe planning to say to the people?
No, I'm sorry. I need to get that. Come back again, please. I didn't get that.
Yeah, I said I'm not sure that if you've heard or not that the president will be addressing the country later tonight by 7 p.m. What do you suppose the speech, the nationwide broadcast, is all about?
Well, I'm sure if that news is out, he will address the nation, and I'm sure he will address our concerns as a people.
Indeed. All right. Now, let's delve into our conversation proper this morning. I'm going to start, from a news report that we got about, I'm starting this way because that's essentially what we're talking about. The Labour Party says that the president's list of ministers submitted last Thursday to the Senate is an assemblage of spent forces and anti-democratic elements. Ashley, what's your thought on Labour Party's assessment of the president's list?
Well, whether it's a spent force or not a spent force, any cabinet that would not address the issues, the concerns of Nigerians, is not going to work. It starts with the vision of the president, and the vision cannot be far away from what he can sell to the followers. And so if he has a cabinet that's not going to be able to fight corruption, if he has a cabinet that's not going to be able to deal with insecurity, if he has a cabinet that cannot handle our massive loss of revenue from our various areas, a cabinet that can't address our nation's economy, then it's a cabinet like a cabinet in vain. So those are the issues, and the cabinet has to work around these details and be specific in the executing the programs of government.
And Ashley, that led me to wanting to know from you exactly, the past administration, we knew what the tripod they stood on. It was made very, very open on the tripod, on the agenda the administration was known for. This particular administration, I don't know if you're aware, is there any particular agenda that you feel this administration is trudging on to drive the country in the next 4 years? Is it security? Is it anti-corruption? Is it power? What exactly could you say that this is trudging on, this administration?
Well, from the body language and from the various executive orders and the pronouncements of the villa of Mr. President, you can tell that he's focusing a lot on the economy. He's removed certain taxes. He's given a moratorium on certain payments. He's dealt with the fuel subsidy. You can see that the body language is moving towards the economy. But then, when you suddenly hit the nation with such serious economic pronouncements,
yeah,
it creates a space for you to now backtrack and to say, okay, hold on, let me go back on this. Let me talk of palliatives. Let me talk of this. So the economy is coming on really hard, and the nation seems not to be prepared. And that's my view. But I think he's also, feeling the pulse of the nation. I guess that's one reason why he's going to address us. He's thinking of palliatives. He says to us he feels our pains, and I believe him when he says that.
Now, let's talk about the list proper now. In the list, we have a few number of women, and quite a number of people have been speaking up on that. They expected more, that the president, being who he is, being someone who is well-connected, a headhunter that he's been called severally, you would feel that women would take at least a considerable number of share in or positions in his cabinet. Although we've not seen everything, yes, we have not seen everything yet. We only have 28 for now. But are you thinking in that direction as well? Do you think the president has done fairly well in terms of, you know, putting up about 6-7 women in his cabinet?
That is good. It's gender sensitive. I don't want to say let's do merit, and I can see he's brought a few people on board, some few good names. You hear Latif Agbemi, and I say, and he knows his way around the judiciary.
Mm.
And for him to come in, we're guessing, and that's another problem. We're guessing which ministry each one will take.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Ali Pate. We're thinking it's going to go to health. Wala Edun, where is he going to go to? Dele Aleke. So we're guessing. We're second guessing now. He can get up in the morning and say, look, is there any lawyer amongst these people? If there is, fine. Let him go to the Ministry of Justice. And so we're still guessing. We're looking at the big ticket names like Nyeso Mwike. And we're also looking at Malam El Rufai. They've been around. We've seen the antecedents, and we're looking up. And they've both been ministers before. So what did they do as ministers? Malam El Rufai was FCT minister. A lot of pains, but a lot of gains. Mm. And then of course Yeson Wike has been minister of state and education. He did a lot of work there. Went back to the River State and laid out an unprecedented level of infrastructure, which all eyes can see, and then you can argue. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm glad that you mentioned Yason Wike, and I've been speaking with political analysts as well, and they're saying that the president is taking a gamble by picking Yason Wike. What's your thought on that? Because quite a number of people are of the opinion that Yason Wike will not leave the PDP, even when the PDP is neither here nor there in terms of their reconciliation moves right now. Do you think it was a good decision by the president?
I think he has every right to do that. We're all aware that there is a restraining order restraining the PDP and agents from taking any action against.
Yeson Wike will not leave the PDP.
Well, this is the government of Nigeria, and
okay.
Nigerian. I think if he can headhunt from any political party, it would be a good one to say, oh, he's even going across the party boards to bring in somebody else if he feels that particular candidate or nomination or nominee can bring value to the table.
I think
he's every right to do that, and then it's within the PDP to say whether they're going to obey the law. To hands off anything to do with Wike until certain things are decided. There's an injunction. Mm. So when the party is meeting, I hear they're going to meet today to decide on Wike. The matter is sub judice.
Yeah. So actually, my last question before I release you this morning, because we're really, really out of time, is the fact that out of the states that where the president speaks, his own state was left out of the entire thing. And people are beginning to think that, I mean, what could be at play here? Could the president not have made up his mind as to who would come out from his state? Because if there's any state that should even lead in terms of, you know, knowing who is who that he's going to pick, that should be Lagos. A lot of people seem to think that, you know, Lagos is proving to be a tough one for the president, that the president may be torn between some candidates, some ministerial candidates. Is there anything, are you hearing anything? Or what do you think could be happening?
Lagos is a big state, and you cannot rule out cronyism and patriotism in politics.
Mm.
So I'm sure there's... He has a basket of very capable hands to pick from, old hands, new hands, and I believe he's just let's throw out the first 28. I don't think he was actually ready with this list, but because of the constitutional statute that says he has to do this between a certain time span, that's why you see this number of 28 coming out, and I believe more will come out, and then he'll be able to sit down. But I believe whoever he picks. These areas, even if he doesn't set the agenda, Nigerians can set the agenda to say, look, what are they going to do about anti-corruption? You know, look, and then it is not one size fits all.
Yeah.
You don't just pronounce, like, for example, there was a disbandment of it dissolved all the boards of all parastatal agencies, but some were left out and some were left in confusion, like the ICPC board. ICPC board, they're all at home. They're not sure if they're supposed to be dissolved, but by rule of law, they're covered by 2/3 of Senate. And that's what is, that's the rule of law. And that's what the law says. So him, he should try and avoid a one-size-fits-all. And, I'm believing that in a very short time, he will call the board back. And then the issue of insecurity, that has to be addressed. These spots are around where our mineral resources are. Let's not shy away from that discussion. And then if you can do that, you'll be able to save the nation that massive loss that billions and billions of dollars we're losing from solid minerals, for example.
Right.
What is happening then? There has to be a new mining vision. And that mining vision needs to restructure the way we're getting our solid minerals out of the ground and getting them to the market to the benefit of Nigerians. And so on. And so these are the major ones. Not forgetting the energy. The energy, Nigeria's energy mix is right there before us. I'm wondering why till now we don't have constant power. We should have gas. We should do gas to power. We have coal. We should do coal to power. We have hydro. We should do that as well. And then when you mix this properly, and then, of course, I also lauded the last constitutional amendment, which allowed the states to handle electricity
properly. Right, right.
But this to me is Nigeria's major agenda, and he needs to set his cabinet around these issues.
Right. Asher Minike, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate your time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Ashley Eminike is former governorship candidate in Rivers State and also an advisor to the immediate past chairman's Senate Committee on Anti-Corruption and Financial Crimes. That's our program this morning, but at 9:30, I'm not going anywhere yet. I have another conversation this morning. The last 30 minutes of the show is brought to you by Budget, and we'll be looking at reducing the cost of governance. That's coming up at 9:30. Lagos, stay here with me.